Hello everyone and welcome to the long-awaited follow-up to episode one of Talking Spite. I'm Graham Flynn and as ever I'm joined by Peter Collins.
Hello everybody.
And Ian Dewar.
Hello there.
Coming up on the show today we have feminine products, live sport and celebrity facts. But first this.
Alright fella, where are we off to?
Le Deux Salon on William the Fourth Street, please.
Le Deux Salon, eh? Very, very nice. Gets very good reviews.
Yes, I believe so.
Going on your own, then?
Ah, no, I'm meeting my wife there, and then we're off to the theatre.
Lovely stuff. Very romantic. Sure your birdie's gonna love it.
Yes, Michelle is very excited. I've been working away, so I haven't seen her for a week.
I don't believe it. I thought I recognised you.
Excuse me?
You're Barack Obama, ain't you?
No. For a start, I'm white. And I'm British.
Come on, stop mucking about. You're Barack Obama.
Seriously,
I've got all your albums. My son loves you as well.
Albums?
Yep, got them all. Brilliant they are. Brilliant.
You do know Barack Obama is the President of the United States?
You should be with your lyrics, mate. Totally speaks of life the way it should be. You'd do a better job than that current president, that Tupac Shaker, whatever he's called.
Good grief.
Right, here we are. Mrs. Obama will be waiting for you. That'll be £4, fella. One sec, though. Can you sign this for me?
Reader's wives. I'm not signing this. I'm not even Barack Obama.
For fuck's sake, suit yourself. You rappers are right up yourself. I'll tell you what, though. Your Michelle could get in here. She's a top sort.
There's £10. Keep the change.
Nice one, fella. Good luck with the new album.
In classical mythology, Jupiter, the ruler of the gods, had a string of sexual liaisons. He seduced them by coming to them in various forms. He came to Io as a cloud, to Leda as a swan, to Danae as a shower of gold, and to Ganymede the shepherd boy, as an eagle. Tonight, I came on the back of a 57-year-old woman from Grimsby.
Brian Shuler still enjoying his UK sex tour. It's time to plunder the Talking Spite inbox, see what emails we've received in the past month or so. First email that we received is from Google.
Oh my word.
Google. One of the main players in the world of the internet. They've bothered to take the time to write to us. Can you believe it?
What have they said?
It says, changes to Google privacy policy and terms of service.
It's nice they're keeping us updated, keeping us informed.
Strange.
I mean, they must be really busy for them to take the time out to.
Anything from iTunes, anything from Apple, or just Google?
Just Google. They mustn't be listening yet, but it's good to know that Google are. Let's see what they've got to say. Must be related to the first show or something. It says, we're getting rid of over 60 different privacy policies across Google and replacing them with one that's a lot shorter and easier to read.
That's good of them.
Our new policy covers multiple products and features, reflecting our desire to create one beautifully simple and intuitive experience across Google.
It's nice that they're taking the time out to come directly to us instead of, you know, sending out en masse and to millions of mailboxes all over. It's not, you know, just coming directly to us, I think.
Yeah. And they've done this on the back of episode one.
Yeah, and I don't know how it relates to episode one, but it's good that they.
I think we.
To know that they listen.
Maybe the driving force behind it.
Yeah. Look out for more of them. Look out for more.
Yeah. So that policy came into effect on the 1st of March.
What else have we had? So we've had a mail from a Mr. A. Carew in Sydney, Australia. He's asking, was Ian Dury really on Eggheads? I think he's confusing me with Ian Dury, and it's Ian Dewar. And Ian Dury was actually in Blockheads, not on Eggheads. You blockhead.
You're saying Ian Dury wasn't on Eggheads?
Unless it was a special 1970s half-baked celebrity pop star version.
Polio sufferer special.
Yeah, with Gary Glitter probably on it as well.
Okay, another message into the inbox. Well, this is the second episode of the groundbreaking podcast, but it may also be the last, because Dr. Winston Mugabe from Uganda has emailed us to say that if we help him transfer his dead family's money into our bank accounts, we stand to inherit $6 million. Wow.
You are joking.
I'm not joking.
And where's he from?
Uganda.
Oh, okay. Must be legit.
I can't see how it can possibly not be.
Why would you email someone and offer them $6 million if you weren't serious?
So hopefully we don't have to
do this again.
God, for that is mind-numbingly painful to record.
Okay, enough of that. And now we're going over for some live sport action. It's the World Championships of Talking Without Closing Your Mouth.
Yes, we are here in Bow, East London for the World Talking Without Closing Your Mouth Championships. Controversial as ever. The competition is still only open to people of Cockney descent, of course, the Cockney being perfectly suited to this event. We're down to the final two, and it's Albert the Pearly King King against the Whopping Warbler himself and last year's beaten finalist Mr. Keith Eel. These Cockney gladiators have been doing battle for just over 21 hours, and we can actually cut to the live action right now with, I believe it's Albert, on the offensive.
What am I gonna fight you? Oh, where are ya? Oh, what, man? Come back and do you? Where are ya? I'll be right down for half an hour. Can't get a fucking piece of quart right here.
Oh, sorry, is it right there again? What are you gonna fight this morning?
It's all broken around. Fuck off.
Oh, fine, I'm down in a fire.
Let me fucking ring. Who's in the bag? Someone's come fucking nick this.
Is it right in the bag?
Fucking in the bag, down the back. Fucking bastards.
I'm gonna shot my man.
Who fight you, old man?
Hey, I told that. Yeah, I'm gonna shot my man.
Why don't you shot your old man?
It's called here.
You gonna shot your old man?
Shot him in the van.
You can't shot your fine man in the van.
I'm
gonna shot your old man. You're
back down in the pub. I'm
not in the pub. You can shot your man down the pub and I'm in the van. What are we doing with my fine van?
I probably ain't such a van.
You fucking ass. Fucking van's gone.
Absolutely magical stuff there. I think I may have caught something about Somalis in a missing van. Fantastic. It's right in the balance, this one. Back over to you.
We'll take a break now. Here's some adverts for the ladies.
Ladies, need to keep tabs on your man? Then try the new SatNag system from Harpon.
Fancy a quick pint, John?
Yeah, don't see why not.
In 25 yards... he will be entering a pub.
Oh shit. Hi, love. Yes, sorry. I was only popping in for a quick one. I'm on my way. Yeah, right now. Actually, lads, I'm gonna have to give it a miss.
Loser.
The new and improved SatNag system now contains a comprehensive database of all pubs, clubs, bookmakers and brothels in the UK and Northern Europe. Just listen to these testimonials.
Since I bought SatNag, I know where my husband is every minute of the day.
It's made my life a living misery.
SatNag from Harpon.
Are you a single lady who loves cats? That's why you're single. Women love cats. Men think you're mental.
Feminine hygiene issues? Then try Halligan's Decodding Snatch Mist, available in a range of sizes and intensities, from the clutch bag micro diffuser to the industrial strength power keg. With its secret active ingredient of pure malt vinegar, Halligan's Snatch Mist really is the smart way to tackle unnatural and repulsive feminine odour.
Bloody hell!
Halligan's Decodding Snatch Mist. From Halligan's, the brand you can trust.
So this is good news, fellas. I read this the other day, that 1980s kids' TV programme Button Moon is to be remade.
Really? Yes. Bring it back. Yeah, really? Revamp.
Few changes. Apparently, Mr. Spoon, he's done with Button Moon in this one. There's no more adventures to be had there.
Just Mr. Spoon?
Yeah.
Not taking Mrs. Spoon or Egbert Spoon?
I don't know what his family situation is.
Why is it called Button Moon if he's not going back to Button Moon?
I don't think he thought that through.
Oh, right.
But in the remake, they're... he's not going to visit Button Moon, as I say. He's going to be visiting Secretary General of the UN, Ban Ki-moon.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I look forward to that.
Probably not as highbrow as the original, but
I thought so.
No. Sounds a lot more admin based.
Just Ban Ki-moon, any of his predecessors?
No.
Boutros Ghali.
I limited information, but I've got a list of proposed episodes that they've got so far. I'd say I'll just rattle a few of these off. We've got Mr. Spoon and the Korean Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Well, these are for kids, right?
Yeah, these are for kids. Mr. Spoon and the United Nations International Organizations and Treaties Bureau.
Same question. These are for kids, right?
That's for kids, yeah. Well, the United Nations.
That's what?
It's relevant, isn't it? It's a kid's look after kids and stuff. And
did you give a damn about the United Nations when you were six?
That's all I cared about was the UN's policies and treaties, yeah. While you were out playing.
Freaks. I was out on my bike.
Mr. Spoon and the General World Climate Conference.
Well,
that should be good.
Well, that's topical. Interesting. Yeah, very topical, yeah. Especially
in this.
Sweltering in here. Yeah.
Mr. Spoon and the Preparatory Commission for the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization.
I mean, that's more like it for children. I mean, you know, they're going to be interested in Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization.
Yeah, kids are permanently badgering me about wanting to know more about that.
Which kids? You haven't got any kids. Which kids are badgering you about this stuff?
Kids.
Which kids?
Kids.
Be more specific. Specifically, which kids?
I can't name names, can I, on this? Because it would be protecting
just through the fence.
What did the court say, Peter?
The court. Let's not get into that. Final episode, Mr. Spoon and Kofi Annan make a sandcastle. Maybe not as highbrow, that one.
And that's on BBC4, 10:30?
No, it's on ITV1 at 4:30. Sport relief this weekend. A lot of people raising money for that. What did you do, Ian, to avoid giving money to Sports Relief?
To avoid giving money, I did the usual tactic of turning the headphones up, picking up your paper and avoiding eye contact with the people with the buckets. Just keep your eyes steadfastly pointing ahead. I haven't seen them. You're not there.
I did similar. I avoided three women, I think, at Bank Tube Station and two people dressed up on Cornhill and someone else at Cannon Street as well. Just blankly and walked right past them. Didn't give a penny.
So that's the way to do it.
Graham?
Textbook.
What did I do?
What did you do to avoid giving money?
I conned my way into a mentally impaired woman's bedsit and drank heavily all weekend and denied the existence of Sport Relief.
Ah, that's a foolproof.
That's a surefire way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have done that.
Yeah, so. I enjoyed it. Anyway, some exciting developments have just come in from Bo. It's back over to the World Talking Without Closing Your Mouth Championships.
Yes, it's all over here in Bow, East London. 21 hours into the bout, the referee has stopped the contest and we have a new Talking With Your Mouth Open World Champion, Albert King. How does it feel?
I want that come back and down.
Well, Keith Eale, beaten finalist for the second year running, you must be disappointed.
I am disappointed, but Albert put on an incredible performance today and he is undeniably a deserving winner. That's very kind. No, as sad as it is to have lost once again, I'm just glad to have been part of a great final. We've put on a great show today for the people who have come down to Bow, and I think it's put Talking With Your Mouth Open back on the map, which can only be good for the sport.
I'm sure you'd echo those sentiments, Albert. It was such a close contest to call. What do you think made the difference in the end?
I think Albert's being very modest there. When he hit me with the details about his missing van, I didn't really have an answer. He really put the pressure on me, and that's what forced the mistake.
And Keith, you'll be back next year?
Yes, I'll probably have a well-earned rest for a while, talk in a conventional manner for the next 2 or 3 months, and then hit the streets of Shoreditch to start the preparation for next year.
And Albert, you'll be back as champion. How does that sound?
What are we doing with my fine van?
Magical stuff. Gentlemen, a great final. You both played your part. Back to the studio.
Thank you.
Fine van's gone.
Top sports news there. So, my favourite part of the show, it's celebrity shite. Peter, what have you got for us this week?
Fact-wise.
Yeah.
Fact. If you play the Cliff Richard album, Wired for Sound, backwards, it's just as bad.
Well, that goes without saying, really, doesn't it?
It's a fact.
Another fact, and this is a fact, before Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox were approached to play Dr. Emmett Brown and Marty McFly in Back to the Future, the roles were actually offered to Roy Orbison to play Marty McFly and Anne Widdecombe to play Dr. Emmett Brown.
I could see Widdicombe as Emmett Brown. Surely she would have definitely been first choice. But Roy Orbison in the McFly role.
Could have drove all night.
Just under 87 miles an hour, not realising.
I'm sure it was 8.
Yeah, he's got the plutonium all charged up and ready to go, he can go where he wants.
He shot the gigawatts, haven't he?
2.2, yeah. Or an electrical, but, you know, hit a light.
Shut up, you nerdy time travellers. Fact. The Loganberry, a hybrid of a raspberry and a blackberry, was named after its founder, 3-time Eurovision winner, Johnny Logan.
I never knew that.
That's true. Apparently, transsexual sports reporter Gabby Logan disputes this.
She thinks it's her.
She thinks it's her, but it wasn't her. Because we all know, for a fact, right, Gabby Logan never used to be called Gabby Logan. She was called Gary Logan, pre-op.
Gary Yorris, pre-op. It is a fact. Any other berries named after famous people? Eric Black, Aberdeen striker, Blackberry.
Yeah, the strawberry's named after him. Yeah.
Strawberry?
Mm-hmm.
Or Blackberry?
No, the strawberry.
What about Jack Straw? Blackberry?
Yeah.
A goose.
Goose, yeah, the blueberry, no, not to him.
Any other berries?
Blueberry.
The blueberry, we've covered that one.
I can't keep up with it.
Very little research into this, haven't you?
Yes, I've neglected my berry studies since leaving school. Anyway, another fact. Lionel Blair is an enigma wrapped inside a myth. And he's also in a constant state of flux.
So he's wrapped in a...
He's an enigma.
Yeah.
He's wrapped in a myth.
Yeah.
And he's in a constant state of flux.
He's a mess, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's in trouble.
That happens.
It will happen. Two facts from me this week, all relating to Adam Woodyatt. For those of you who don't know, he plays Ian Beale in EastEnders, the popular BBC soap. He was signed up to the show in 1891. That's 15 years prior to the invention of television. Good foresight there from Adam. He remains in character at all times, and has a driving licence, passport and national insurance number in the name of Ian Beale. And he uses these for his Beale-based celebrity appearances, both here and abroad.
So technically, Adam Woodyatt doesn't exist anymore.
He comes and goes in between the two, depending on, you know,
moods.
Why did they nail him down so early?
Surely his performances speak for themselves.
Yeah. You don't want that kind of talent slip away. Coronation Street would have been after him.
Yeah.
No problem.
Otherwise, you could have had Roy Orbison as Ian Beale. I don't think that would have worked.
Roy's been a bit unlucky, hasn't he? With his casting. Yeah.
He turned down Martin McFly and Ian Beale.
Mm-hmm.
But he did start the Orbital, so...
Just true.
They had some success in the 90s, and he did well there.
Yeah, it worked out okay in the end.
Yeah. It did. And just last fact about Woodyatt here. Very popular in the Ukraine, where Ian Beale literally translates to blowjob.
Blowjob?
Blowjob.
How do you know this? Do you speak Ukrainian?
I don't personally, but I know a Ukrainian who speaks Ukrainian.
But I hope someone from the Ukraine could
speak Ukrainian. That's not true, because not all Welsh people can speak Welsh, can they?
Does Ian Beale know that his name is Blowjob?
He's in the Ukraine quite a lot, so I'm guessing...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's big in the Ukraine purely on his name.
It's possible. He's going out to the Euros.
Is he?
I hope he knows before he goes out to the Euros it's Blowjob.
Yeah.
He's going to be popular out there.
Yeah.
Anyway... Here's some more shite for you. It's this month's star signs.
An Aryan woman will lose 4 stone after switching to a diet consisting solely of free-range peacocks, following nutritional advice from the ghost of Clement Attlee. While a Cancerian inventor should not lose faith when a toy company rejects his design for a new transformer called Winalot Prime. Your lucky regional TV presenter is Fred Dynage. With Moonpig on the internet and Venus de Milo, a dwarf Mexican wrestler born under the sign of Virgo will start a small haulage firm with cannon and ball, while a man born under the sign of Taurus will proceed with an ill-advised plan of artexing his windows. Lucky 70s pop group Chicory 2. Aquarians would be wise to update their virus definitions to prevent risk of being hijacked by Somali pirates, while a wave of Dutch elm disease will blight all Sagittarians' crops. Move along, Scorpio, nothing to see here. Good news for Pisces, as the futility of your pathetic existence will be lessened temporarily this week when you are given a complimentary newspaper. Your lucky dessert is lemon drizzle cake. With a chicken vindaloo in your stomach, and Uranus in a mess, Leos everywhere will be regretting a heavy night in the sauce, with soul duo MacAlmond and Butler. And a man born under the sign of Capricorn will forget to chit his potatoes. Gemini ladies will be getting fit now they have signed up to Terence Trent D'Arby's Pilates class. And Librans in the Meridian region will be pleasantly surprised when Colonel Abrams pops round to help with the garden. Your lucky tin food is Alphabetti Spaghetti.
There are literally thousands upon thousands of galaxies. It's a confectionery wholesaler's.
We're drinking a bottle of Vouvray, a medium sweet French wine. Let's see what food expert Ollie Nobbed has chosen to go with it. He's dicking round the supermarket again. I don't know why. He's made some Mickey Mouse ears out of a couple of cinnamon swirls. And now he's doing shots with the lid of a fabric conditioner. Can you drink fabric conditioner? What a fuck. Oh, he's done.
Today the chaps are drinking a wine from the appellation of Vouvray on the north bank of the Loire. This medium sweet wine works especially well with foods like Angel Delight or a Terry's Chocolate Orange. But today I'm going to pair it with something savoury. Yes, today I've selected a chicken and mushroom pot noodle. Produced in a factory in Wales, this dehydrated mix of noodles, textured soya pieces, vegetables and powder is the melting pot of magic that'll bring out the very best of the Vouvray. The potassium carbonate, sodium carbonate and dried glucose syrup of the pot noodle will pick up on the honey and apple aroma from the Chenin Blanc grape. While the potassium chloride and citric acid will really enhance the mellow fruit flavours and balance the refreshing acidity of the wine. Then of course there's the nose, and the least said about that, the better. Chaps, it's a sweet and fruity wine, and this cheeky chappy of a meal is its perfect partner. Kettle's up!
Okay, let's give it a try then. We should be nearly ready now.
I'm not touching it.
Waiting the prerequisite.
That looks like filth.
6 minutes. We've ripped off the lid, we've whipped out the sachet. I'm grabbing a fork, I'm digging in. Oof.
Smells foul.
And with that wine.
I've had these before, and I find that if you give it a few grinds of black pepper, add a little extra soy sauce, squeeze of lime, chop in a fresh chilli, it's still unpalatable.
I've never tried them before, and I'm not going to.
The phrase, can't pause your turd, strings to mind. These are, that's a turd in a cup.
This is food that an astronaut would refuse to eat.
Wouldn't even get on the shuttle. No. Unpack it.
It's not even food.
Sorry, Ollie, you've let us down this month. Let us down with this. Pot noodle in one word.
Grim.
Offensive.
Powder.
Bulesi mokalolo, pulaka mamu, bideke pakaliko, kakano, kiki pataka pangrikangong, patangkabrnyakangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangangu
The new fragrance from Yosso and Dool.
Blessy McConnellu Pulaka Mamu Bideke Pakalaku Kakanu Kiki Putaka Ban Rikan Kwong Paton Kabrin Yaka Nyanya Briata. Or Blessy McConnellu Pulaka Mamu Bideke Pakalaku Kakanu Kiki Putaka Ban Rikan Kwong Paton, as it's known for short.
Catchy.
I prefer the shortened version there. It's much more snappy, isn't it?
I'm going to try that one, I think.
Translates to nice smell in regional Senegalese. Or nice in the cooked-down version.
Where can I get a bottle of this?
I'm sure it's available on Yosu's website.
I'll have a look. I'm signed up to that website anyway. So
speaking of aftershave, what fragrance are you wearing this month, Graham?
I'm wearing a Gross Misconduct.
Gross Misconduct?
Yeah.
What's that one all about?
Gross Misconduct in the workplace.
Oh, in
or
the...
You were, specifically in the workplace?
Yeah.
Does it inspire gross misconduct?
From other
I don't know if it... Yeah, I suppose it does. Mm.
It's a risky thing to
wear. Times wearing it.
So. Oh, God. It's a risky thing to wear to work.
It's the thrill, though. Yeah. Ian, what about you?
This month, it's simply catchy. It's just chippy.
Chippy?
Chippy.
As in carpentry or frying things?
The frying thing. Batter in a bottle. That's its tagline.
Batter. Does it not set once it's chilled?
Yeah. Well, literally batter. The aroma of batter in a bottle.
Oh, right, okay.
Bottled batter.
Do you enjoy smelling of chips?
Hmm? Women apparently like that, don't they? Love it, yeah. They love a man who smells of batter.
Knows what he wants, he goes and gets it, he gets batter. And then yeah. He bottles it and he wears
you'd,
it.
You'd go down a storm in Blackpool. You'd be fighting Blackpool off with South a shitty on stick.
Have you found you've been having to bat them off with your batter? Since you've been wearing it?
I have a little bit. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah,
a bit. I'll have a little spray of that later.
Yeah.
You're going to have a spray of his batter.
Yeah, cover me in your batter.
Peter, anyway. This month?
Yeah, apparently, I was watching the budget the other day, and apparently we're in difficult financial times. People are feeling the pinch and stuff.
I'm not noticed.
I'm not, personally. I'm incredibly well off. Incredibly well off.
Yeah. Well, we'll all be incredibly well off when Dr. Dunn...
Yeah, if he comes good.
That's $6 million.
But yeah, you know what? The empathy I have for fellow humans and stuff, I've developed a fragrance that like the man in the street can afford.
Mm.
It's called Recession for Men, the Scent of Austerity. Wearing it now.
Is it pricey?
No, it's mainly dishwater.
Okay.
But that's the beauty of it. You know, it's every time I make a batch up, it's different. I blend it, you know, like a master distiller blends Scotch whiskey.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends what's in the dishwater, what you've been eating and what you've cleaned off the plates.
Essentially, it's so what I've ate and what brand of fairy I've used.
Like pot noodle.
Yeah.
If you've been posh and put it in a bowl.
Because mainly most of it goes in the bin, but if it can be bothered recycling the pot, that goes in there.
Well, the fork, I suppose, will have traces of...
crud on it.
Yeah. Okay, that's all from us this month. Probably won't be a podcast next month, if we're being honest. I can't see the good Ugandan doctor.
No, that's a sad.
We're going to be $2 million each better off, so there's no point in doing this anymore.
No, we don't do this for fun.
I can't see there being any issues with the doctor transferring the money into our accounts.
It's completely legit, so why would there be?
Yeah, so thanks for listening.
See you, never again. Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Talking Spite was written by Peter Collins and Graeme Flynn, and performed by Ian Dewar, Peter Collins, Graeme Flynn and Petra Howarth, with music by Bad Precedence and Kevin MacLeod. The podcast was recorded, mixed and edited by Peter Collins. Additional royalty-free music and sound effects were used in the recording and where traceable will be credited on our website. Search for Talking Spite on Facebook and YouTube and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We're off to stockpile hot pasties. Goodbye.